Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Oh, yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, technical gremlins taking us down on day one, but we're back live, the inaugural broadcast of the Rod Peterson Show. Rod Peterson, Darren DuPont, and thanks for those that have stuck with us through Facebook Live and online. The audio only at rodpeterson.com. It is the maiden voyage of the program. It is indeed, Darren, a new era of sports talk here in this province and on Facebook Live as well, which we're going to get into some of the details of how we got here. We're not going to do a real deep dive or long story. We're going to jump into the deep end of the sports talk here in moments. Everybody knows who I am and why we're here. But this particular program that we're launching today has been more a dream of yours than a dream of mine for quite some time. So before we get to our first guest, which is Gary Lawless of the Vegas Golden Knights, coming up in moments, maybe just your thoughts on why we're on the air today with this program.
Well, it's funny. I don't know if you would have thought we'd be here a year from now, or you know, even 5-6 months from you know earlier prior to today. But no, it's cool. It has. It's been a dream of mine ever since I think we started doing shows together live in the cage. We were doing training camp shows when I was up in Saskatoon still. That's when it started, right? And then, you know, we turned into last summer coming in and then moving to Regina. That's when it really started. And I knew that, hey, we needed to do this because there's so much more that can be done. There's such a, I mean, just look at the people who are watching now. Enough people to crash the feed. I mean, that's how much people want this, right? So it's an underserved market, and this gives people a chance to get served in a whole new way.
Well, we're going to talk about some fun things here in a little bit before we bring on Gary Lawless as to maybe who some of the well-wishers have been. But I just want to just talk about the last 6 months and how we got here. I mean, when I left the job as voice of the Rough Riders, I was leaving. I was going to another province, a major market, to have my own talk show. But a couple things tripped that up. One was my family didn't want to move. Two, in the interview process, they said that you're going to have to start all over building your name. And that immediately was a red flag to me. I don't want to do that. I've been on the air in this province 30 years. I don't want to start all over. And three, it just flashed in my mind that I don't want to leave these people, the people of Saskatchewan, which, based on the viewers of our news conference on Thursday, 87% of the viewers were from Saskatchewan. So I'm working, as I mentioned in the news conference on Thursday, full-time in recovery, mental health and addictions, with athletes in Saskatchewan, farmers and producers in Saskatchewan, and soldiers in Saskatchewan. And honestly, that's where I had planned on my life going. But as time went along, after leaving CKRM and that job, my phone started ringing. The SJHL called, would you come be involved with the league in a variety of roles? And I want to do that. And then the Saskatchewan Rush called and said, would you come and come up for a game and guest host one of our games and sit in with our staff? And that's something that I want to do that I haven't been able to do before. And this show itself is going to be a lot different than the Sports Cage for a variety of reasons, and people are just going to have to tune in and watch as to why that will be. But as you see here, Rod Peterson Show, it's not the Sports Cage. So, you know, a lot of questions came up and have come up about, did you have to bite your lip before and all that? That's, sure I did. But I don't think people understand why. And we're going to get into that. But we're going to talk about things on this program every day from 10 a.m. to noon that we wouldn't even have the opportunity to talk about on that program. So that's kind of my opening preamble, I guess, that I didn't even plan to get into here on the warm-up. But I'm just excited to be part of this. And I want to thank you and Paul at IKS Media for the opportunity to do this.
No, it's really cool. You know, I got to wonder, the recovery stuff for you has been so big. Why so big? Because you would think that the, you know, isn't the Rider stuff and the, you know, the speaking tours and hanging out with Brock Lesnar and Henry Burris and those guys, isn't that more fun?
Sure. Well, I can still do that. I'm still doing that stuff. I was very busy in the spring doing those sporting events. But when in this life now, and since I've been working as a recovery coach in the last 2 years, I would say every couple of days, somebody's saying to me, you saved my life. And they're not joking, because people save my life. I'm a recovering addict. I still battle mental health issues. I don't think that's news to anybody. So when people tell me that, I know that they mean it. And they're so indebted. They're like, take my watch, take my credit card, whatever. They're so indebted for you to do that. And it's like, no, it's fine. It's just helping people to find the right way. And what I love about that is that feeling is that you get. I immediately, when I started doing it really early on, realized all the coaches that I've dealt with through my whole sports career, I didn't understand them till now. Coaches are only good as their players, you know, and that heartwarming feeling when somebody, or a teacher, same thing, when somebody reaches the potential that, and you've helped them do that, it's a lot better feeling than being on the radio every day. It's just 30,000 people don't show up to see me do an intervention, okay? So I get it. It's not sexy. It's not exciting. The sports portion of it is. But one thing that I've realized is, why can I not do both of those things? So, and I'll give you a great example. Coming up on this program, I think Friday night, they're going to debut it here on the Rod Peterson Show, rodpeterson.com. The interview with Corey Sheets, where we're talking about the 2013 Grey Cup and him setting a record for rushing yards in a game, a Grey Cup game at 197. And then he just blurts out that, oh, in the last 5 years since I played regularly, I tried to kill myself and was institutionalized for 5 days with mental health issues, like out of the blue. And this is why I said it in the news conference on Thursday, why I think I'm needed more in that field is that people like me and like Corey Sheets, and I'm not going to list guys because that's their issue. It's not for me to say. But when coaches and bosses and, you know, commanding officers can't handle somebody, they put them in a room with me and I can sit down and three words will get them to completely open up and we're on the road to recovery. And that's just a better feeling for me. That's why I think I'm being used to do that. However, over the last 5-6 months, broadcast executives have said to me, you need to be on the air, right? You need to be on the air. So let's find a way for you to be on the air. And so whether that's yourself, Paul, you know, my other television show, I guess I have the ability to do that, but I've got a gift to do the other thing.
Why not do both, right? Why not
that's what I'm doing. That's Very what cool. I'm doing. Now, one other thing, and what's happening with Gary? We have got Gary Lawless with us. We got I don't want to keep Gary Lawless of the Vegas Golden Knights waiting while I sit here and ramble on. Guys, tell me if we got Gary. I don't have the audio. Gary, can you hear us?
I can hear you, Rod. How are you, bud?
I'm going to have to read his lips, I think. I can see. Gary, listen, you're our inaugural guest here on the Rod Peterson Show. We're having a little bit of audio issues. You look great, by the way. We can see you just fine and fantastic. I'm going to get these guys to fix that audio issue, but I want to say, I want you to answer two questions. One, why was it important for you to be our first guest? And two, what's going on with you since we last saw you at TSN? And I'll get these guys to fix this because everybody else can hear you.
Yeah, well, you're my friend, and I'm real proud of you and what you've done with your life.
Unless Gary can't hear us, that could be a thing too.
I can hear you.
I'm looking at these comments on the wall here. I don't think Gary can hear us. The sports doctor watching in from Winnipeg. I like how there's a Blue Bomber helmet above the Rough Rider helmet over Rod's right shoulder. Bill writes, streams fine on my phone. Christopher Robinson, hello from Allen, Saskatchewan. Chad Hall writing it on Facebook. Where can I get just the audio feed? Just wondering for when I'm in the semi. You can go to rodpeterson.com, right, and click on Listen Live.
Yes. How about that? Watching from Vegas.
Leanne Horning Wright watching from Las Vegas. Thank you, Leanne. Philip Gross, live from Winnipeg, on the road. Here we go, boys. He's a good friend of yours,
yes.
Right? You worked with him? With whom?
He's amazing. Yeah, we've worked in the past. Well, it started back with the Golf Association, and we've continued that friendship, and he's a big supporter of this, and I think there's bigger things, too. He's one of those great guys, you know, that we sit there and dream up all these ideas. So he was one of my sounding boards as, you know, I was trying to build this show, and so it's great to have him watching from Winnipeg. Now he's working with Pattison, you know, selling all of their digital space and billboards and whatnot.
Gary's fresh off the NHL Combine, covering that for the Golden Knights. So I'm going to have the guy. There's a couple questions that I want to get to. One of which is, like, there's an army of guys behind this wall right here that we spent all day here yesterday at the studio trying to work out these things. But any broadcast people will know that once you go live, it's a lot different than when you're doing the test.
Well,
runs,
and on
right?
a new platform and something that we haven't done enough of, you know, it's still new and the audio feed still lives on, and that's at, you know, your site, and that's still there. So all, you know, the radio traditional listeners will get that feed in the car or at home or in the combine, and you know, if they're worried about bandwidth or things like that. But yeah, on Facebook, we get to interact with these great comments and do all those types of fun things. And of course, we will get to the call-in lines and the text lines. That's coming very, very soon, which is exciting. But you know, you talk about, see Vegas, you see the cathedral area, getting very specific. I assume that's Regina's cathedral area and nothing like the Vatican or anything like that. But
yeah, Donna, awesome. So glad you're doing this. Congratulations, so needed. Not a fan, but not a view fan, but a sports fan. Hey, I got Gary. I hear him. Gary, we got you. Hey, okay, so we can hear you just fine. The question that I had earlier, why did you want to be our first guest, A, and B, what's up with you since we saw you CFL on TSN?
Yeah, well, I wanted to be your first guest, and I'm honored to be your first guest. You're my friend. I'm real proud of what you're doing, but I also think it's really important to have independent voices. You know, I work for a team, and you know what that's like, but I think it's good to have other people on the other side that are unfettered and can say, you know, what they feel and represent the fan in that respect. I think there's a good mix for both.
There, you heard that, and then Gary broke up. So, you know, it's the inaugural day. Stick with us. But as Gary said, he's a fan of what we're doing here. What did he say? And what did he call it? Well, independent voice?
Yeah, likes to have people who are unfettered and can actually get real opinions across. I think that's exciting. And, you know, Gary's a big fan of that stuff, which is really positive. You know, we mentioned Gary Lawless is here, and he's our first guest on the show, which is exciting. See people from Vegas and all over. I'm curious, you know, I mean, my phone's been going off, you know, over the last few months, especially, you know, when the search was on for your replacement and the questions, is it, you know, are you going to, when do you take over the job and all this and that? I mean, in Costco walking around the corner, you know, people recognizing my voice, things that haven't happened, you know, until I, you know, this past summer and coming to Regina. But I can only imagine your phone. Who's been some of the more interesting people or surprising people that have reached out?
I got a couple notes on that. So bear with us. This is the fun. Like, this is like the wild, wild west of broadcasting, right? You understand that. Paul is in the back nodding his head and laughing and loving it. So I will get to that question. But Gary brought up an interesting point. And I know those guys sitting in the back of the room couldn't hear what he said. And we're working on bringing Gary back. But that independent voice, there's a couple things here that I know what Saskatchewan people want. And I actually think I know what sports fans want overall. I can only really speak for Saskatchewan people because I've lived here 45 out of my 46 years. They don't want to be pissed on and told that it's raining. Do you know what I mean? And I'll give you an example. This isn't a Saskatchewan thing, but I saw a Vancouver Canucks fan blasting Sportsnet on Twitter for saying, stop telling us we need to be patient here in Vancouver with the Canucks. We've been patient for 50 years. We're tired of this garbage that's being crammed down our throat every week by you guys on Sportsnet on the panel. And that's what's the thing about being independent here. I don't have any ties to anybody at all. And by the way, I'm fine with it. After 30 years in the media, I was not dying to get back in. Trust me, I wasn't, which is something else that we can go down that road of. But with the scoop of Ken Holland with the Edmonton Oilers, I don't care. Like, now we're getting into it. You guys tell me when we have Gary again. In the world, you have the media here and you have the teams here, the players, the coaches, the GMs, all that. What I found out, they don't talk. Okay? So I talk to the media guys. I talk to the sports people. They don't talk. So that Ken Holland scoop just dropped into my lap. Now, I was up at LaRonge Ice Wolves camp in Saskatoon, hanging out with my buddy Kevin Killer Kaminsky, and I'm with all the LaRonge staff, and it comes out that, hey, the Weyburn Red Wings are going to hire Rich Pilon as their coach. They're going to announce it on Monday. Oh, well, I'll put that scoop out there. The Weyburn Red Wings blast me and make me take the tweet down saying I disrespected them and, you know, we're going to have an announcement, show some respect for organizers. So I deleted it. A week later, I break the scoop on Ken Holland because I was just around hockey, guys. The Oilers didn't have a problem with it. This is what the Weyburn Red Wings are freaking out, and the Oilers don't have a problem with it. But what I've realized here is that nobody, it's not just me that couldn't say anything. A lot of guys can't say anything, you know? So, again, I don't really care. I've got another career in recovery that I enjoy, and I just want to go on and talk sports and be real for the first time in a long time. Now, you mentioned the well-wishers. There have been many. And a lot of football guys, a lot of hockey. The hockey guys are going nuts. They're bouncing off the walls.
They love it.
They absolutely love it. And you know, thanks to Mark Habscheid for texting Bruce Franklin from the Ducks. Brandon Crow, the voice of the Brandon Wheat Kings, texting me or DMing me this morning. And way to go. The Curlers are bouncing off the walls. Benny Hebert of the Kevin Cooey Canadian Men's Curling Championship team is bringing the tankard in here in a couple weeks. He's bringing it in. And as soon as Braden Muscoe saw that Hebert's coming, Braden's like, I want on the show. And Michelle Englund's, now she wants on the show. And when the Blues win the Stanley Cup, and they got some work to do, but they're going to bring the Stanley Cup on the show. So that's exciting. But you mentioned the well-wisher that stood out. Was Gary Echeverry, the great Gary Echeverry, who's watching on Facebook right now from Washington State, and he said, The View! I'm in. I want to be your Elizabeth Hasselbeck. That's what Etch said. And he goes, how soon before people start talking or referring to you as Barbara Walters? You don't even know who that is, probably.
Yes, okay. I know who it is. I don't watch
Google
the
it.
View.
But what I love about this program, as I'm sit here in the last 24 hours, sitting here in this set, talking about what it's going to be, is it's The View meets David Letterman meets ESPN. It's all the best of all these things. Is that fair?
No, that's a good...
I mean, there's a Letterman look as far as the set goes. It doesn't look like The View. But it's going to be morning sports talking about what happened the day before. And let's just say the Riders tank it by Labor Day. Let's just say they're out of it. On the sports cage, you are obliged to talk about them for the rest of the season. Whereas with this show, if it's not interesting to anybody, we're going to switch gears and go down the NFL road, or we'll go down the NHL road, or we'll go down the junior hockey road, or we'll go down the Blue Jays road if they're making a run. It's what people are going to want. The hockey people have basically tuned me out for the last several years because I wasn't covering them. I wasn't going, I wasn't traveling in those circles, but now I'm back in those circles. I think that's why they're as excited as they are.
Yeah. No, and I've heard it from the hockey people too, that you know, we're actually going to be able to get into some real hockey talk, which
right.
is exciting, and have real hockey guests on. So that's cool. And of course, you know, being relevant in the hockey world with the Ken Holland scoop and the Dave Tippett news and following that, you've got the Edmonton media on the edge of their seat because you're kind of...
They're DMing me, asking me what's next.
You're jumping back into that pool and... you know, I mean, how often do you get asked, you know, or thought of as not a hockey guy when that's your life?
That's
been
what
hockey.
It dawned on me here was one of the Edmonton reporters said, oh, this is hilarious. The football guy got the Oilers scoop ahead of the hockey guy. And that just ticked me off. It annoyed me. And I mentioned that in the news conference on Thursday. Why can't I be both? And what people don't understand is this province is just as much hockey as it is football. There's no two ways about it. You got Marshall's going to be on set next. Not only did he play for the Riders, but he played for the Silver Foxes junior team too. I know you don't like us bringing that up, Marshall, and we'll mention why that. He's not even smiling when I bring it up. It's not a memory that he liked. But anyways, we can talk about all these things. I don't like being pigeonholed in that one hole of being the football guy. Now, having said that, still talk to those football guys every day, have a very good idea what's going on in the Canadian Football League and behind the scenes, and we're going to get into all those things. And the Raptors, too. But first, we're going to take a break, see if we can hook back up with Gary Lawless. Marshall Hamilton will be joining us on set next. It's The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work. Follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Those awesomely massive decals around the city? Yep, that's Sleek. Those sweet-looking graphics on businesses, buses, and billboards? Sleek, sleek, sleek. Basically, if you want to go big, you go with Sleek Signs. SleekSigns.com.
Back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
Mentioned sports updates today. The Raptors waking up knowing they blew a chance to go up 2-0 in the NBA Finals. Golden State used an 18-0 run last night to start the third quarter on its way to beating Toronto 109-104 to even the finals 1-1. Game 3 goes Wednesday in Oakland. The Blues will try and even the Stanley Cup final at 2 wins apiece when they host the Boston Bruins tonight for Game 4. Boston scored on all 4 of its power play chances in a 7-2 rout of St. Louis in Game 3. Blues rookie goalie Jordan Binnington was pulled for the first time in his young career that night. And the Blue Jays have a much-needed day off after a disastrous road trip that saw them swept by the Tampa Bay Rays and Colorado Rockies. Toronto's dropped 10 of 11 overall and are 16 games under 500, heading into a 3-game set with the AL East leading Yankees this week. The Jays host New York at Rogers Center starting tomorrow. So, want to thank our sponsors off the jump. Ambassador Coffee, our set design furnished by Source Office Furniture in Regina. Darren DuPont with me. Thanks to all for tuning in our very first broadcast. And I want to thank Marshall Hamilton for being our very first live in studio guest. How you doing, Marsh?
Awesome. Feels great to be here.
So what do you think about this whole thing before we dive into the football talk?
Well, first of all, you're talking to somebody that's almost 62 years old that's not really very smart technically. I got kids that are smart technically, but, you know, this Facebook thing's kind of new to me, this Instagram. Like, I'm not a social media guy, but I think it's so cool that this is an inaugural show going on Facebook and other platforms where guys like myself that are retired don't have to, you know, watch from, you know, when you get home from work and watch in the evenings whatever is being broadcast by TSN or whoever, that you can jump online and watch and listen and talk to or listen to people like us talk about football or lacrosse or curling or whatever it is. So I just think it's so cool, and I feel honored that I'm your first live guest.
We're honored to have you. And by the way, you remind me, you got to be watching the Wally Buono interview, which we taped last week for this show. And Wally says to me, I'm 70. Do I look 70? That's like you. You don't look 62, Marshall. You look very much in shape. But Wally dropping bombs in that interview, by the way. One that he wished he could have coached the Riders before he retired. How about that? I mean, that some of the interviews that we're going to have in our audio vault are just going to blow people's minds. But anyways, I'm starting to get into a groove, a little comfortable here. I don't want to take things over. Darren, you go ahead if you got something.
No, it's just great. I mean, why not? That's what's really cool is those interviews. I mean, your Rolodex over the years, what, 30 years in the business-ish,
yep.
20 years, you know, with the Riders, that's the connections. That's what's really neat is that, you know, you can get Wally Buono on stage the night before with the Regina Thunder dinner going for, how long did he go for, 40 minutes?
Yeah, he was awesome. I hate
great.
When people say, by the way, they're contacts. I want to use your contacts. They're not my contacts. They're my friends. I hate that term, Marshall.
You know, and if I could comment on that, and I haven't heard your Wally Buono interview yet, and I can't wait to hear it, but there's a theme that's going on here. You went off in your first half an hour, talked a little bit about this. Wally Buono, again, I haven't heard the interview yet. And when I think about sort of the feedback that I've gotten with the stuff I've done in the media and the stuff I've done on In the Huddle over the last, people like, well, not everybody likes everything I say, but they appreciate the fact that I tell it like it is, that I'm not afraid to call a spade a spade. And it's been frustrating for me, I've never vocalized it to you, it's been frustrating for me to work with you because I know you've got this muzzle on you, whether it's the muzzle from CKRM or the muzzle from the Rough Riders or just the muzzle being connected to the brand of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I haven't got that muzzle. When they're playing great, I'll tell you they're playing great. When I tell you they're playing terrible, I'll tell you that too. And Wally Buono probably couldn't be as candid through the course of his whole career as he probably was with you in that interview. So I can't wait to hear that and see that. And it's nice I'm going to transition a little bit away from sports for a minute. When I retired, one of the nicest things about being retired is you don't have to worry about what your boss thinks anymore.
Right.
You don't have to worry about saying the right thing or the wrong thing. You don't have to worry about somebody saying something to you and you wondering, I wonder what the ulterior motive was for that comment. So this sort of takes the politics away from it, and you can just be yourself. You can just be, you know, I can be honest, I can be frank, I can be upfront, and I look forward to doing that with you on this show, and I look forward to it getting it back from you because now you're free.
Yeah, feels so good. It really does. And this is probably what I should do.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as play-by-play, I'm not pursuing that. I made that very clear. You've seen this road with me the last couple of years. You actually said like a year ago, maybe recovery is what you're going to do full-time.
Well, okay, let's back away from sports just for a minute and just talk about life. I can absolutely relate to the fact that you get far more joy and rewards out of helping an individual that's in trouble with their addiction or with their challenges that they face with depression or alcoholism or whatever. You know, I do believe that in this world, we're on this planet to help other people and to love other people. And yeah, sports is nice. I love talking about sports. I love watching sports. But I love helping people. And I know you love helping people. So if the sports thing went down for you and the recovery thing took off for you, great for you. I mean, the province of Saskatchewan and all the people in Canada that love listening to you and love hearing your sports words and so on are going to miss that. But the world will be a better place because of all the people that you're helping. So I commend you for the work that you're doing. But I selfishly hope you can do both, because I really think you've got something to add in this world and you got something to add in that world as well.
Well, just two last things on that, and then we'll get to the Rider loss in Friday.
Oh, did they win? Did they play this year?
Right. Not really. But Darren had said to me somewhere over the last couple of weeks, what's the wildest thing that's happened since you've been traveling the province this spring? And one was in Estevan, because I spoke in Estevan, Assiniboia, Zenon Park, Swift Current, North Battleford, Live Long, Humboldt, Melfort. Did I say Kipling, Sedley? I was in all these places. And I had a guy in Estevan come up and literally cry on my shoulder. He was out having a smoke between periods of the Bruins game. He's like, what am I going to do without you? You've kept me so company on all these long drives. I'm like, well, I didn't die. I'm still around and I'll be. That was one. And then what was the other one that I said? Sedley.
Yeah.
This guy came up and stood. I'm having a conversation with a guy. It was the night I spoke with Henry Burris and Ricky Foley. And a guy just stood beside me. And I turned to him. I said, can I help you? And he goes, can I just stand beside you and listen to you? I miss listening to you. And I said, you can stand here, but don't repeat anything that I say. He's like, okay, fine. And he stood there like for a long time. So that's when I started to, because when you leave a job like this and you've left jobs, Marcel, you feel unwanted, you feel beaten down. But it was the people of this province that kind of lifted me back up. And that's when it dawned on me, I need, like those broadcast executives said, to be on the air. Yeah. So let's do both.
It's clear, right? I mean, the people have spoken. The people in the province want you back on the air.
And I want them.
And they're going to. We're watching the text come in live. I mean, at least in the studio here we are. That's just going to grow. It's going to exponentially grow, the number of people that are going to want to listen to you live. Darren, my guests, whoever guests you have on, they're going to want to tune into this thing every day.
So they're telling me, read some comments. I like it. Another thing I like about this show is I mentioned the army of guys behind this wall putting this show on. I love the fact that it's a bunch of guys with a common goal. I love the fact that the toilet seat is up in that bathroom 24/7. It's a guy's thing, okay? Mm. Paul doesn't like it. He owns the place. But anyways, from John Schmidt, the best show around has finally started. Thank you, Johnny boy.
We're going to put the toilet seat down for Michelle Angelot, though.
Yes,
when
from
she comes
Christopher
in.
Evans. Fantastic. Aside from sports, Marshall, great outlook. What does that mean? From sports. I get your point.
I think they just like the fact that there's more to life than sports.
Yeah, believe it or not, there is. From Vern. Awesome show. Love it. He swore in there. From Drew Reimer. I don't really... Oof. What does that mean? Doesn't matter.
Sure.
And they asked about the Seahawks helmet. Why is it here? I don't know. I showed up here the other day and it was on the desk.
John Ryan?
So he doesn't have all the set, but
is it
yes.
Signed?
You know, it was funny when you broke the news. I think everybody was happy that John Ryan was coming back. You talked about it early that it should happen. You talked about the workout that happened, and they weren't signing him, and, you know, jersey sales were going to go through the roof. And then when it actually happened, I think a lot of people were really excited about that. So
Yeah.
Well,
that's another reason. I'm working in this with the sports people every day in recovery. These things come up. These scoops come up. And now I can report them because I don't have to answer to anybody. So do you see how it kind of does work together? Okay, to actual sports. And we expect Jim Lang will be with us, our NFL insider, later on. We're still working out that video chat thing. Your thoughts on the 37-1 loss in Calgary Friday night? You obviously watched it, Marshall. What'd you think?
It was hard to watch. It really was. And not because they lost 37-1, but because, you know, I watched those games thinking, you know, I want to see who's going to stand out. And, you know, I spent some time with my son yesterday at breakfast, and I asked him the same question. I said, did anybody stand out for you? And we had trouble coming up with any names. It was really hard to do. Now, let me take a bit of an aside for you. When I think back to my career playing with the Saskatchewan Roughriders, I only got to play, they had four exhibition games back in those days. I only got a chance to play one quarter in one game. But I made five tackles. And that was enough. Boom. I made the team. So the emphasis on making a play or making a mistake on the reverse side of that is so critical to these all those guys that were out there. And yeah, we saw lots of people making mistakes, but we didn't see very many people making plays. And I remember the next year, I remember playing an exhibition game, got an interception. The day after that interception, they cut my competition. You know, so just the impact on, you know, I don't know how many people are on the roster. Let's say there's 70 people on the roster. So many of those kids are going to be gone because they either didn't make a play or somebody they were competing with did make a play. So it was a frustrating game. The score doesn't matter. I mean, they didn't have any of their starters there anyway. But Calgary proved they're going to be a really good football team again. We knew that before that outcome. And we knew the Saskatchewan Roughriders, you know, don't have a lot of depth. They got a lot of talent, and we can get into the names if you want. A lot of talent, but they didn't take that talent with them to Calgary. So it was a tough game to watch. I watched it, but it was tough.
When you get the game like that, and there's so many starters you mentioned that weren't there, and you have, you know, so many raw rookies and things like that, is that, you know, tougher on those guys to make an impact when you don't have the surrounding cast? Or is it better opportunity to stand up?
Well, there's two answers to that question. I mean, if I let's just take defensive backfield as an example, because that's the position that I played. If I'm playing with four starters and me the rookie, chances are, who are they going to pick on? Me the rookie. Well, that gives me either the chance to make a play or gives me the chance to make a mistake. So it puts a lot of pressure on it. Whereas if there's five rookies in the defensive backfield, like there was when we watched the game the other night, you know, they're going to pick on whoever. They can pick on all of us. They're not specifically going to pick on you. So I think there's more pressure if you're the only rookie out there with a bunch of veterans. But regardless whether you're out there with five rookies or four veterans and you're the rookie, it's about you. You got to know your assignment. You got to execute your assignment. And if you can, make a play. And definitely don't make a mistake, because if you make a mistake, you're probably gone. You're not going to get a chance to make two or three mistakes. The veterans get a chance to do that, but not rookies. And if you can make one play, it can be the difference between having a career playing professional football or not.
Was there any specific position you were watching closer than the others Friday night? Or players?
I'm naturally, because I was sort of a quarterback growing up and a defensive back playing pro, I'm naturally inclined to look at the skill positions like the quarterback and the receivers and the defensive backs. I tend not to look too much at the offensive line play. If I see, I PVR all the games, so if I see a sack, I'll go back and I'll see, you know, how did that guy get through and who was the offensive lineman that made the mistake and those kinds of things. But generally speaking, I'm looking at receivers, running backs, quarterback in particular, and the defensive backs.
So you felt nobody really stood out? Here's the reason I ask. I was watching all the same things, and I thought Cody Fajardo was better than I thought he was going to be. I didn't like the fact he had to lead the team in rushing, but when you're rotating tailbacks, that's going to happen, right? He played more than any of the running backs did. But the receiver, Max Zimmerman, everybody's talking about it. We haven't. Well, you and I are in Saskatoon for one day for training camp, filming our TV show. You can't get anything out of one day.
Yeah.
And now people down here, I come back to Regina, they're like, how did Zimmerman look? How did he look? I'm like, nothing special to me at all.
I don't think they threw the ball in his direction.
He didn't have, well, in practice or the game?
In the game.
But they didn't. He didn't have one catch. That 13, that big number 13, led him in receiving the other night. But I'm watching the German, because we're getting this 2.0 thing crammed down our throats, and I don't have a problem with it. And by the way, if Randy Ambrosi, the commissioner, is watching, I believe this show will be the best thing for the CFL. I really do, even if the CFL doesn't always like what we have to say.
Yeah.
I get it, what they're trying to do. But Max Zimmerman looked a little lost to me the other night. And my friends around here are saying, well, he's getting all the pub in camp from all the press. So what? Doesn't mean anything. What do you think about the experiment, about him, about all of it?
I think the experiment is awesome. I commend Randy Ambrosi and the league for doing that. But let me just pick Max Zimmerman as an example. He's going to make this team. That's my prediction. He's going to make this team, and not because he's, well, partly because he's an international, but he's going to make this team because that kid will do anything. He will fly through a brick wall if you ask him to fly through a brick wall, and he will make that team on special teams, and he will become a special team star on the Saskatchewan Roughriders. He's not going to be a special team star from the perspective of, you know, Christian Jones running back a long punt return for touchdown. He's not going to do that, but he's going to be on punt team. He's going to be on punt return team. He's going to be on kickoff team. He's going to be on kickoff return team because he's just a tough kid that's willing to work harder than anybody else on the field, and he's willing to learn and grow. And, you know, 2-3 years from now, does he work himself into the lineup as a receiver? I hope so. I'd love to see that happen, but he's going to make it as a special teamer. And I think that's probably true for a lot of the internationals. How did I start my career? I was a special team guy. I was on all the special teams. I didn't start as a starting safety first year. You had to build yourself into it. Hell, I was a quarterback growing up. So Max Zimmerman's going to have to learn the Canadian game. He's going to have to earn his way by playing on special teams. And just the energy I saw, the athleticism I saw, the work ethic I saw, he will make that team.
Darren, before you jump in, comments from Trent Bruner on Facebook. Need one more game before we can say, but he made a good impression. I think we'd all agree with that. From Drew Reimer, Fajardo did a great job. From Sandra Mathers Larson, Fajardo has to scramble because of our starting O-lineman. We're all in Saskatoon, maybe. James Hofer, yes, Fajardo looked ready to be a backup, but I want to see how healthy Kolaros is. Craig Monroe, anybody talking CFL football is good for the CFL. From Taylor Curry, Cody looked good as a backup, but if he was our starter, I think I'd be a little worried and keep short yardage for Nick Marshall. I like all those comments. I didn't even know that they had a backup for Zach, period. So at least we know they've got a backup.
Yeah, I think.
Right?
I think
that's the good news here.
I think that was more or less answered that I think Cody Fajardo. I thought, you know, if you gave him a letter grade, he probably got a B for that game. I thought he looked capable, but he didn't look like a starting quarterback. And I agree with the comment from one of the texters. I think Nick Marshall should be. That's a no brainer from my perspective. He was unbelievable last year as the third down quarterback, and he can do so much more than Cody Fajardo can. And his athleticism, I think, would be a miss if we didn't have him in as the third down guy. But back to your question, I liked. You know, there was one bad thing about Picton, the receiver. I thought Picton played well, except for that fumble. You know, so it's one of those, you know, are you willing to cut him some slack? But he I saw him in training camp. I liked his route running. I like his hands. I like his intelligence. And, you know, they threw him the ball, and he caught the ball. He just had that one fumble. That's
negative. A lot to like about Mitch Picton. And that fumble happened early. He came back and was stellar after that, which tells me he shook it off. And they threw it to him a couple times.
Yeah.
Our producer, Clark's telling us we have to take a break. For what? Why? So just hang on. Darren, you had a point. So just hang on a second. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just
teasing
say,
you, Clark.
We talked about moving the ball and having so many rookies playing. And maybe it's different on offense as it is on defense. With so many rookies playing, you don't get a chance to make as many plays. So you don't get as many plays, right? And you don't get a chance to move that ball around. So like the comment said, maybe having a more veteran O-line would help you move the ball and sustain drives and give some of those younger players a chance to make plays.
Yeah. And it depends so much on who you're playing against. Like, as the average fan sitting there, we don't know whether they got their ones, their twos, or their threes in as defensive backs and as linebackers. And TSN will focus on sort of one player per play, but there's 12 players out there or 24 players out there, and you don't really know who all's in there. So now, that's the other thing that the average fan doesn't understand is that these coaches are going to dissect this film backwards and forwards. I mean, every time you watch films after the game, you watch each play like 5 or 6 times and you go, you know, my glaring mistake keeps getting shown over and over and over, or the great play that I made gets shown over and over and over. And they know whether you ran the right route. They know whether you were in the right zone. They know all of those things. And that the TV can't pick all that stuff up.
We're going to take a time out, be back with more of your comments. Of course, you can follow us on social media. Darren, you want to handle that?
Yeah.
Give the shout-outs.
The Rod Peterson Show everywhere.
On everything.
Yeah. Twitter, Rod Peterson Show, I think, is all the handles. And I mean, we're already seeing the Facebook comments. There you go, right on the screen. Perfect.
Yep. Facebook comments
Parks
coming
on
in.
It.
Yeah. We are broadcasting our very first ever show, and our producer, Clark Monroe, most recently of the Regina Pats. Before that, the Estevan Bruins, saying, you know what? Show's going to look different in a week. It's going to look different in the next 2 to 3 weeks. That's what's exciting about launching something new.
Yeah, I know we're going to go to break, but... You know, you talked about Letterman, The View, ESPN. It's whatever you want it to be, and it's right. going to grow on a daily basis. I mean, look at The Cage. It did the same thing. So
Etch wants to be our Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Who's that?
Watch The View.
Well, yeah, okay. I'm going to start watching The View.
Reason to watch The View.
The guys are laughing
on the other side of the wall. You're my Joy Behar. Do you ever watch that? Whoopi Goldberg reminds you of...
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back. We're on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
We've had three major market corrections in the last year. We're looking at recessionary times ahead, not sure when. Very difficult to predict the markets right now just with geopolitical issues down in the States and in China. And you got the two largest economies fighting and throwing tariffs at each other. So it's a really scary time in the markets.
Brian Baker, managing partner and investment fund advisor with 2020 Wealth Management, Investia Financial Services, Inc.
The markets go up and they go down. You're generally, over the course of the last 100 years, can expect 4 good years and 1 crappy year. The problem is how do you time it? It's almost impossible to time. And the last thing you want is a crappy year right before you take out your pension. The strategy is designed for people who are retiring. However, we also put it in place for people who are 3 and 4 years from retirement.
Your investments matter. Talk to Brian or Jody today, your retirement income specialist at 2020 Wealth Management, Investia Financial Services, Inc. Visit yourinvestmentsmatter.ca.
Mutual fund products are provided through Investia Financial Services, Inc., and insurance products are provided through Custom Plan Financial.
For more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Rod Peterson Show continues. Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com. Marshall Hamilton with us. Darren DuPont, too. Just a sports update on the day. Travel day for the NBA Finals. The Raptors and Golden State Warriors are headed to Oakland, California, where the best of seven series tied 1-1. The Warriors rode a big third quarter to a 109-104 win over the Raptors last night in Toronto. Games 3 and 4 Wednesday, Friday in Oakland. The Boston Bruins can take a series stranglehold in the Stanley Cup Final tonight. The Bruins have a 2-1 lead on the Blues heading into Game 4. 4 of the Best of 7 series in St. Louis. The visiting Bruins clobbered the Blues 7-2 Saturday night in St. Louis. The series returns to Boston on Thursday. We'll get around to some hockey talk later on. I want to thank Mark Habscheid of the WHL champion Prince Albert Raiders for sending some well wishes last night. Thank you, Habby, and congrats on another ring for your boys. We're scrolling up and down. Kristen wrote in about he might not listen to Gormley anymore because we're live in this time slot every day, 10 a.m. to noon. Before we jump back into the Rider talk, can I just read you?
Yeah.
Remember that guy that texted me yesterday? He's a media guy, a Hall of Fame media type. I won't say any more than that. He said the time slot of this show is genius. He said it better than I can say. Why I fought so hard to be in this time slot and not go at 4 o'clock like some people thought. He said, if you want local sports content at that time of day, where can you go? Nowhere. Let the other two sports talk shows cannibalize one another. Gormley has lots of listeners, so that tells me there's a market for talk radio in the morning. Early afternoon's a graveyard. The drive time is already spoken for. Plus, you get a head start on setting the sports talk agenda for the day. Boom! That's why we're here, 10 a.m. to noon every day. So, and we have gifts.
Clark?
Yeah.
What
Producer
is this?
Clark here.
Producer Clark.
We've got a gift here for Roddy.
She's
open it live on air.
She's a beauty, Clark. Regina Riot, thank you for the gift. I appreciate that. The local women's tackle football team, what could it be?
You know what's funny is we're watching these comments come through. I think this is the biggest thing I've noticed. There's a lot of women watching
Whoa!
The show.
It's a bonanza.
You're a big, with
stickers.
The women.
This is going right on here. We're big with the women. Look at this hat. I love it.
Nice
I
hat.
Love it. An A-Flex hat, T-shirts, DuPont. You'll get one of these. Marshall. Yeah. I'll take the hat first. Thank you, Regina.
Oh,
right?
I wanted
Very nice
hat.
Of you. No, you're not getting that. Love it. All right. Where are we? Thank you, Regina Riot. And let's get you gals on here soon.
Yeah.
Nice oh, gift. McAdoo. The comments here.
I saw some of the comments earlier. They were talking about how long is it going to be before McAdoo gets fired. I don't want to comment on the fired part, but this is a real crossroad year for McAdoo. Stephen McAdoo last year took a lot of criticism, a bunch of it from me, for having such a conservative offense. And I didn't know whether that was McAdoo, whether that was the personnel that he had to play with, or whether that was Chris Jones with his thumb down on McAdoo telling him how he had to play. I suspect it was more the latter than it was the other former. But that game we saw, the exhibition game, just looked like, oh, no, not more of this dink and dunk. And I want to comment on dink and dunk, because I was a dink and dunk quarterback when I played. The thing about dink and dunk, and I'm going to mix a metaphor here a little bit and talk about boxing. You can't win a boxing match by jabbing all the time. You have to every once, you jab, 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 and then boom, you got to have the big one's got to come at some point. And that's all McAdoo does is the jab. He doesn't know that every once in a while you got to do the out and up move to do the big bomb punch. We'll see what happens when he's got this offensive line in there. We'll see what happens when he's got Caleros in there. We'll see what happens when he gets a chance to really be the offensive coordinator, because I think Dickinson will let him be an offensive coordinator. But if all he's got is the jab, we're going to have a boring vanilla offense this year, and we're going to struggle for the entire season. I hope he's found in the offseason either the courage or the intelligence to have the haymaker that comes in after the jabs.
Well, that's interesting because, and I've often thought about the way he calls plays and the Riders' offense, and I understand wanting to be ball control and keep the other team off the field and work your way up the field, high percentage throws. It all makes sense, but it seems like it. I don't know how well suited it is for the Canadian game, because in the States you get an extra down. So if you only get 2 yards on the ground or on a swing pass on first down, I mean, 3 yards of play and you have a first down every single time. It's not the same in Canada. So you have to push the ball down the field a little bit.
It is a different game. And look at Bo Levi Mitchell. I know we're looking at, the best quarterback in the Canadian Football League right now, but did he do any dink and dunking in the two series he had in the first quarter of that game? No. He was going downfield with 20, 30 yarders consistently. And you got to be able to, that the field is so large, and if you're going to limit yourself to the sort of the 10 yards from the line of scrimmage to 10 yards into the defensive backfield and only throw outs and hooks and slants and so on, it's fine to do it every once in a while, but when you start to see the defensive backs start to creep up, and that's what defensive backs do when you're dinking and dunking with them, then you got to have the out and up move, and you got to have the stop and go move, and you got to be able to throw it over their head, and that keeps them honest. So dink, 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 but you got to have the haymaker to throw. And Bo Levi Mitchell starts throwing haymakers from his first pass. And McAdoo so far has only thrown, he never throws haymakers. He just throws the jab all the time.
Okay, so just to pause on that for a second. I rifled through this box from the Riot a little more. There's a nice note in it, by the way. So I'm going to read this from the local women's tackle football team. Congratulations, Rod, on your new show. The Regina Riot wanted to pass along a little something to help decorate your new set. Oh, I've already put it on here, by the way. There are some complimentary tickets to the championship game, June 29th. We wish you all the best with your new show. We know that with your extensive knowledge, experience, and profile, it will serve the sporting community very well. The Riot is willing and ready to offer any players, coaches, or staff members to assist you on your show. Good luck. We'll be watching your friends, the Regina Riot. So thank you, Riot.
Cool.
And like I said, I put that on there. Somebody wrote in here about a sports trip. They want to go to Vegas for games. Yeah, I'm pretty jacked. I think we talked about this in the news conference about doing a live show from somewhere, like we have done in the past with our sports trips, but live video and bringing guests down.
Well, have you ever been on one of these sports trips with Rod?
You were close, Marshall. You couldn't make it.
Yeah, there was one year that Rod invited me, but I couldn't make it. But
it was Anaheim, LA.
I'm retired.
You can go.
So you're in.
And even if I have a place in Mesa now, even if I have to come from Mesa to wherever, I'll go that way.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because you often say to me, Rod, you know, how thankful you are. You say that we didn't know each other before recovery. And
you didn't know me when I was drinking,
right?
Basically.
So I went on my first trip in December, right to Nashville. And so, I mean, maybe not the whole package, but I start wondering, are we okay putting these shows on television, on the trips
with some
of the stuff that JR and, you know, these guys do on the trips? I think that's going to be a blast when we do, because the trips are coming and there'll be a chance for everybody to be a part of them again, which is really great. But
we're going to do it
on television now.
I was speaking at the Saskatchewan Beef Industry Conference a couple of years ago, all cattle ranchers, and they brought me up to do my rider presentation. And a little bit of recovery. And one of the, I always like, the best part is when you take questions from the crowd at the end and some guy puts his hand up and he goes, what's the wildest road trip story you can tell me? I'm like, let me think. Oh, wait a minute. And I talked about our first trip to Dallas where the police were involved. A taser was involved. they were all like, whoa. I'm like, that doesn't happen anymore. But that was a good time. Westrum boys, Rollo. Call me. Anyways, we wanted more comments from Brent. I haven't thought of his calling in that way. Calls plays like we have four downs. How come nobody complained about Stephen McAdoo when the Riders led the league in touchdowns? And Kevin Glenn was the quarterback and they had 3,000-yard receivers. Like, did we honestly think he wasn't a good coach then? How come we didn't hear that?
But what I remember of Kevin Glenn, and I like Kevin Glenn as a quarterback, Kevin did dink, 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 haymaker. You know, so he forced the defensive backs to move up. He forced the defensive coordinator on the other side of the football field to start saying, well, we're going to have to start playing these guys tighter because they're getting 5, 6, 7 yards of crack on first down with these little dinks and dunks. But it seems like after Kevin Glenn left, they were afraid to throw the ball downfield. And, you know, let me back up a little bit. This is going to be a running football team this year. I think we have a good offensive line. We've got a great running back. We haven't had a chance to see him play yet. But we're going to have a really good running attack. And that's going to cause the defense to play a little bit different. But what you've got, if you start seeing the defense put 8 guys into the box, that's when they're susceptible to the deep passes and you know, the deep cuts, because they're basically playing man-to-man. They're telegraphing ahead of the play. They're playing man-to-man with all their defensive backs against our receivers because they got so many linebackers in the box trying to stop the running back Powell. So I'm looking forward to seeing how McAdoo does. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't think we're going to see the same Steve McAdoo we've seen in the past, because I don't think he's got Chris Jones's thumb on his play calling.
We're going to find out a lot how things are different under Chris Jones, right? How much I don't know what goes on internally. I had a little better idea in the Chamblain days, and because I talked to George Cortez a ton, who was the offensive coordinator. Chamblain had nothing to do with offense. Zero. He was all defense. And he wasn't even the defensive coordinator initially, was he? I don't believe he was. He took that over. It was Richie Hall.
Yeah, I think he was calling plays in the last year,
on
year
defense,
and a half, maybe.
But nothing defense, to do with offense. Yeah. Like, but remember when in that era of the Riders, that regime, if somebody fumbled, they were either benched or cut immediately? Yeah. That was all George. And Corey was taking all the blame in the media and not saying anything about it because he was okay. He's that kind of leader.
Yeah.
Was Chris Jones that way? I don't know the answer to that question. Like, for instance, Brandon Bridge always knowing that in the back of his mind, if he made a mistake, he's going to be pulled and maybe not starting the next game. I think we found out since he left that was a problem for Brandon Bridge. Very hard to play in that environment. But was that McAdoo or was that Chris Jones? Was that Steve Walsh, the quarterback's coach, or was it McAdoo? Or was it a committee? They'll never ever tell you, right? They always say it's by committee. But it's got to be somebody's decision that's pushing the red detonation button on this.
Well, Rod, you know from in the huddle over the last few years that I was not a Chris Jones fan. And I'm really pleased to see that Craig Dickinson has taken over. And you're going to see this team take on the personality of their head coach. And I really think that they're going to do well under Craig Dickinson. I still think they've got some problems, obviously, at quarterback. But I think that the attitude of the team and the leadership on the team is going to come out under Craig Dickinson that wasn't allowed to come out under Chris Jones. I've already heard from some of the veteran players indirectly that this training camp was so much more relaxed than it was previously. And they just beat each other up last year in training camp. They felt like they had played three or four games by the time they got to game one already because they were just so beat up because of the style of
right.
Chris Jones.
And they weren't hitting each other. It was just the amount of reps. I got the same word, too. It was an insane amount of reps they were running under Chris Jones, and that was wearing them out.
Well,
to clarify, they're not banging heads.
No, you're right. But when I say beat yourself up, I mean you can run a marathon and not touch another person,
and
you're beating yourself
right.
up.
Right, that's all I'm pointing out there. Yeah.
Well, it's hard to keep up when you're watching those in camp. I mean, the double barrel, it's 1-1-1. And if you're trying to evaluate, I mean, they have an elaborate system at that time. And you've seen it. I think you were privy to their analytics system of tracking every rep and what counted and what didn't and what was success and what wasn't. But, you know, for us watching that, it was pretty hard to be able to keep up and actually take notes and create your own stats as you're trying
to
evaluate.
It was, but they were just conditioned to do that. And here's the thing. Marshall and I, till the day we're in graves, will disagree on Chris Jones. For what? Like, I liked the guy. And let's not forget, 12 wins last year. So his philosophy was, I'm going to run him into the ground in practice, and the game should be easy. That was his, and I think they would agree with that. I mean, there's different. You're just sitting there like not agreeing. I can tell.
But I like when people disagree with me.
Right. I can tell.
It's fired up.
But the thing with Jones, he left. And middle of the night, Chris Jones style, what did we think was going to happen? He was living in a hotel. Like, see ya. His black shirts are probably still hanging in the Ramada in whatever room that was. But that's just the way that he runs. I will tell you, knowing him as well as I do, that not winning a championship here will keep him up at night. That'll be a nagging thing in him. And he may never, you know, scratch that itch unless he wins the Super Bowl with the Cleveland Browns or whichever team. And by the way, do we not think he'll be running the Cleveland Browns in 4 to 5 years? Like, history repeats. You don't think so?
No, I don't.
Why?
Think so. I think Chris Jones, I mean, you and I will agree on some parts of Chris Jones. I think Chris Jones is a really smart football guy. I think Chris Jones is a really good X's and O guy. I think Chris Jones is a really good defensive mind and a defensive coordinator. I think he's innovative. But I don't think he's a leader of people. I really don't. And I think that the NFL will scrutinize, you know, they've got so many people to choose from when they're choosing head coaches, when they're choosing offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators. And I don't think somebody that has his people leadership skills or lack thereof, in my opinion, is going to surface at the top in the NFL. I just think that there's too much other talent out there that they could choose from instead of him.
I know you compared him a lot to, I don't want to say Belichick, but you said you're trying to build it like the Patriots back, you know, when Chris Jones took over. And Yeah, I mean, Bill Belichick is such a taskmaster and so detail-oriented and has his hands on every aspect of it. And you can do that in the CFL, especially with the coaches cap now and you have less guys. You have to be out there coaching. In the NFL, you have every position coach, an assistant position coach, and you've got more guys in the field where, yeah, more of your job, I think, is being a leader and, you know, delegating to those coaches a little bit what your philosophy are and what your game plan is. So do you have as much of ability to be a taskmaster or a taskmaster?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Time? What's awesome about sports is that if it was easy to win, everybody would do it. So they're trying to find that sort of copycat formula of the Patriots, but they don't have Tom Brady. They didn't have him.
Yep.
So, and they're still trying to find him. And it's not Zach Caleros. I admire what they've tried to do, but that's my point. The Patriots won a Super Bowl in year two under Bill Belichick. In 3 years with Chris Jones, they didn't even get to a Grey Cup, let alone win it. So if it was that easy, don't you agree, Marshall? Everybody would do it if you could just copy what somebody else did.
Well,
every franchise is different.
I agree. It's way harder than people think it is. But the keys to winning in the Canadian Football League, and it's not a lot different, well, it'd be at least a little bit different for one obvious reason in a second in the NFL. But the keys to winning in no particular order is you got to have a good quarterback, you got to have a good head coach, you got to have good Canadian depth, you got to have a good offensive line, and you got to have a good defense. Now, I'm giving you quite a few things there, but, you know, right now, where do the Saskatchewan Roughriders fit in on that quarterback rating? In my view, with Caleros, and I like Zach Caleros, but he's in the bottom third. He, you know, certainly in the bottom half. Would you rather have him or Riley? I'd take Riley. Would you rather have him or Bo Levi Mitchell? I'd rather have Bo Levi Mitchell. Would you rather have him or Matt Nichols? I'd rather have Matt Nichols. Would you rather have him or Trevor Harris? I'd rather have Trevor Harris. Well, I've just gone through the West. Fifth out of those five teams. Would you rather have him than Jeremiah Masoli? I'd rather have Jeremiah Masoli. Would you rather have him than Jonathan Jennings if he emerges as a starter in Ottawa? That one's a toss-up for me. But, you know, he's probably sixth out of nine starting quarterbacks in the Canadian Football League. Canadian talent, I don't think we're there. Offensive line, I think we're in the top third. Defense, I think we're in the top two, if not the number one. I'm really excited to see this defense play this year. And Dave Dickinson, I like what I see. I think
Craig.
Craig Dickinson. I like the hire. The verdict's still out on that one, but I'd much rather have Craig Dickinson coaching my team than Chris Jones.
I'm going to make a note on that. Craig Dickinson, I got to write this down. Just a couple things I want to mention here. More Facebook comments are coming in. And Casey, my good friend Casey, used to work with him with the Pats. He's watching from his balcony in Maui, by the way. So that is the magic of Facebook. Marshall and I do this show on Access Television, which was great. I think it's in 80-some communities around the province, but it's not worldwide. It's not online. This program is, and that's what's exciting about it. And the audio, listen live at rodpeterson.com. Just reading some of these comments here from Phil Miller, Chris
Tell
Jones.
Tell Phil Miller, I'll bet him if he wants to contact
Phil Miller
him
says, Chris Jones will be an NFL head coach. You heard it here first. Phil, mark it down. Marshall wants to bet you that you're wrong. When do you collect on that, by the way?
Well, I might be dead because it'd be 20 years from
right
now, but I'm confident that he's not going to be an NFL head coach.
Adam Stewart says seventh above Ottawa and Montreal. Clearly the question is, where do you rank the Riders? I assume that. Mike O'Moran, it just slipped past me there. Nashville Bobowski, it was just released that Dominic Davis is Ottawa's starting quarterback. Just saw that from the Red Blacks. Well, the other night. Stop scrolling. I want to get to Abu Meshrick's comment here. I tried to watch the Ottawa-Hamilton game, but it was up against Game 3 of the Stanley Cup. So, sorry, CFL. Now I know why they don't televise preseason games in the CFL, because of the Stanley Cup Finals. And by the way, it was 4-0 before I even sat down on my couch with the Blues and the Bruins, so we went and walked around Wascana Park. Mike Abu Meshrick, Zach could be fourth if the O-line plays like they did the other night.
He liked the O-line. That was the comment that scrolled away on us, is that he liked the O-line play
with how they played
in a 37-1 loss, if that's not an oxymoron.
BK Graham still firmly believe if Zach goes down, we are so hooped offensively and do not want to see a team where defense plays the whole ball. Plays the whole ball. That's what he says. Furthermore, if you missed this off the start, and by the way, the program will replay daily at 4 p.m. on our Facebook page, Facebook Live. Think of Facebook pages like TV channels. Would that be fair?
Yeah, you know, honestly.
Go to the channel and we'll replay it at 4 o'clock.
That's what social media is now. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, right? That's your new CBS, TSN, ESPN. I mean, that's where it's moving to. And maybe we're, I don't know, I don't think we're that far ahead. I really don't.
How so?
Like far ahead of the times. You know, I mean, people.
We're right for the times.
I think we're right for the times. I think we came in at the right time. And I've heard it, well, it's not groundbreaking. Groundbreaking would have been 10 years ago. Well, that's not what.
It's groundbreaking here.
That's not
Who
what
cares?
No, but that's not what it's about. It's about, you know, you can force people to go there or you can be ahead and be the first one to a new platform. But it's more important to be where people are. For the last 20 years, they were on the radio. And now the mainstream and most of them are on Facebook and it's the right time.
It's not about who's first, in my opinion. It's about who's relevant.
And I who's think, best.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to sound boastful, but you're awesome at what you do. You're awesome at what you do. I think the guests that you're going to bring onto the program are going to contribute lots of positive content, sometimes negative content, but they're going to bring content that the viewers are listening are wanting to hear. And they're going to want to hear honest, candid comments from people who are free to speak their mind.
Yeah, well,
you are now.
I just want to mention, too, when rodpeterson.com started in 2006, and there was a reason why. I didn't have a talk show back then, really of any kind. I was doing 1 hour a week, Sportsline, Monday nights on CKRM. And in an hour, as we've learned now, is nothing. It's like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It really, especially when you're talking about the Rough Riders. So I started that blog in 2006 just to get things off my chest. People weren't trained mentally at that time, this was 13 years ago, to go to the internet for their news. I didn't even track hits on that website for 6 months. I just wrote and wrote and wrote. I had no idea how many people were reading. 6 months in, it was at 400 or 500 a day, which blew my mind. Fast forward to now, it's 10,000 hits a day. And it's 26 million all-time hits to rodpeterson.com. So I don't care if it's a little blog in Regina or NBC. 26 million is 26 million. Ed told me that there was an appetite across this country for CFL fans because nobody was blogging about the CFL back then and not a lot about the WHL. Here we are 13 years later doing a Facebook Live show for the entire CFL, which I actually want to get to. Like people are saying to me, you know, you could be the voice of the CFL in the Maritimes before they even get a team. You know, they'll be watching out there. Well, we were hoping to get Eric Tillman on, who is in affiliation with the Atlantic Schooners. And actually, we had him lined up to come on, and then Eric got a hold of me yesterday. I was out for breakfast at Fresh and Sweet, and he said, I've been advised not to do interviews at this time. So when Eric's next role is public, he'll be coming on. What are you guys
laughing
at?
Read the top.
Marshall Hamilton's legs
are trending on my legs. Like, what's going on? Do I got to start wearing jeans now?
Was it in the commercial break you asked if you had to shave your legs for the show?
Yeah, and by the way, Mike Abumeshek, who thinks that I've waxed my legs. No, there's lots of hair on those legs. But, you know, I appreciate all the comments about my legs trending on Twitter. Not even sure what that means at my age. But
trending in Canada.
Trending in Canada. But, if you like the comfortable look, happy to continue to wear shorts. But if you think I should start putting on my coat and tie, then go find another guest.
Hey, I'm glad. Look, actually, I had my legs up on the desk yesterday. Paul was over there. Paul and I are of a similar generation. I said, did Letterman not put his legs up on his desk? He did, didn't he? And Paul said, yes, when he was sick of his bosses and fed up near the end, he put his legs up on the desk. So show one, I'm not putting the legs up just yet. And we'll just admire Marshall's legs here for a while. But again, the beautiful thing here, Rod Peterson Show, is, yeah, it's going to be CFL focused. That's what people want here. There's no two ways about that. But we will venture into the other topics. And coming up later on in the week, Derek Myers will be with us along with Kelly Rempel, the Silver Fox, who's vibrating at the opportunity to come on the program, and we're just as excited to have him. Jim Hobson, Chris Getzlaff, the day after the Riders preseason game Thursday night when the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are here. I haven't even told you this. The sports doctor's coming in. Dave Patrician, game day Thursday in studio in his Bomber jersey. So for you Winnipeg fans, we'll have a lot of Bomber talk on Thursday. Coming up after the break, however, we're going to get down with the National Football League. Jim Lang, Canada's foremost NFL insider, will be joining us via video chat. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter, that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.